Celebrate good time. Come on.
Let's celebrate and have a good time. Oh, shit. You're recording.
I am.
I thought it only took two takes. I was trying to get you amped up, man. Ready for this podcast today.
I was just enjoying listening to it. I didn't want to interrupt it.
Hey, look, everybody enjoys my musical styling, so it's okay.
I do. And those musical stylings are courtesy of Savage, a.k.a. Banks.
Alexander the Great Banks.
And I am Civil, a.k.a. Daniel. Welcome to Civil and Savage, where we talk about stuff in a civil and savage way. Today we've got a doozy of a topic today. We're going to talk about Deshaun Watson. We're going to talk about Baker Mayfield, Colin Kaepernick, and we're going to talk about poor man's crimes. But before we do, Banks, I wanted to mention to you, I took your advice. I checked out Married at First Sight.
It's a good show, right?
I did not enjoy it at all.
Why not?
I don't know, man.
I'm disappointed in you. The show is pretty good.
Okay, so we turned it on. We were looking for something to watch, and I was like, Banks suggested it, and so we click it on. Now, the first thing...
How far did you get into it, though?
Okay, that's the first thing. I was going to say, let me be fair. To start off, I did not watch all the episodes through. I jumped ahead because I just want to see the black couples. And so I jumped to... Look, I already got to deal with enough white people at work and all over life.
Your racism is preventing you from enjoying a good show.
Honestly, I'm at the point in my life where, no offense, y'all, I just want to see stuff with black people in it. I'm black. I want to see stuff with black people. It's just the way it goes. Yeah, I'll make exceptions. But so we sit down and watch it, and it's this couple, and like, it was just so ridiculous.
Oh, dude, it is. It's so ridiculous all the time. I love it.
It was so ridiculous. And like, they finally go down the aisle, and then she's like, hi, my name is. And he's like, hi, my name is. And I was just like, I can't do this. Like, this is absolutely a mess.
See, man, you didn't get into the good parts, though. Like, the good part is when they start, living with each other, and they start going crazy. Shit starts happening. Man, you didn't even give it a fair shot, man.
I didn't give it a fair shot. Okay.
You didn't. Okay. I'm offended.
I tell you what. For you, I would go back and give it another shot.
You got to at least watch a whole episode.
Okay.
and then tell me that you hate it later.
Okay. So the next episode from the one I checked out was them living together. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to check out that episode, because one of the guy was like very quiet, easygoing, diminutive. And then the woman that he married was very kind of like assertive and ambitious. And I was just like, this could work, but I'm not sure it's going to work. Right. So I will give it one more go, because it was already like, oh, I don't know about this.
It's a good show, man. Look, I am a fan. I've probably watched about 6 seasons of it so far. And the thing is, man, I don't know if people's life in turmoil just makes me feel better about my life and greatness, or if it's just, you know, just watching people at their worst moments just makes me happy. I don't know. It's very savage of me. But hey, look, that's where the nickname came from.
But you know what? Like, I get it, because my show is Love is Blind. I love that show. I cannot explain why I love that show so much. That show is a mess. And just the absolute messiness of it. And like, not only the couples that succeed, quote unquote, but the couples who fail in the ways that they fail. And like, the first season was like an absolute mess. And then there was Love is Blind Brazil, which was like even messier, but in a different way.
Did it have then, girls with big booties?
You might be able to determine that if you watch it. and then
you was watching it with your wife then, huh?
so you couldn't
stare at the booties.
Well, what was different about Love is Blind Brazil is that you could see the cultural differences. Mm-hmm. And there were differences in like how the men interacted with each other. The men seemed like they were just much more like open with each other. The women seemed even more assertive. like for themselves. And then there was like this one guy who was just an unabashed chauvinist pig, and it was crazy. And then we did season two of Love is Blind, and that was just an absolute mess. There's Love is Blind Japan, but we haven't watched that yet because with subtitles, you got to be in the mood, you know, to watch them and whatnot.
I mean, the thing is, it's crazy because you like Love is Blind, but Married at First Sight, these people don't even know anything about each other. You got like a group of, therapists and psychologists putting these people together based on like some questionnaires, and the hot mess that you see on Love is Blind is more intensified on Married at First Sight because these people are like legally married. It's not like they're just, you know, hooking up and dating or getting engaged and then getting to see and know each other, but these people know nothing about each other. So I think that you're not giving it a fair shake. However, if you watch another episode, you have to let me know how what you thought of it.
I will. I will.
Preferably last season. The first couple episodes are hilarious, but I ain't gonna go into that because I'm a good person.
Oh, you know what? I completely agree with you. I don't think I gave it a fair shot. I did as much as I could, and it was a mess, and I stopped. I'm going to give it another go. All right. Because I want to see it. I think for me, like, Love is Blind is my one show like that, like, of reality television that, and I hit my limit with them. Whereas with, like Married at First Sight, I just watched it, and I was like, this is absolutely crazy.
So you mentioned earlier hot messes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to segue into the hottest of hot messes that I've recently witnessed, probably like a couple minutes before we started this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I just watched Antonio Brown trying to be a rapper.
Oh no.
Performing in Florida. If you haven't seen it, he was doing some kind of weird dance with his fingers, and I kind of lost it because I was like, what the hell are you doing? Look, if you don't know, I am a diehard Steeler fan. I love the Steelers. I've been a Steelers fan most of my life. Antonio Brown was like one of my favorite players. I don't know what happened. He lost his mind, something, whatever. I love the man on the football field, right? Mm-hmm. But then I'm watching this video of him rapping on stage somewhere, and I'm like, what the hell is happening here? Why is Antonio Brown trying to rap? Look, there's things that you can do in life, and there's things that you can't. Antonio Brown, he can play football. He can catch a lot of passes. He's a great receiver. He run great routes. And then I witness him rapping, and I'm like, know your limitations, sir. Sorry, I just had to get this out because I just saw it, and no, I'm disgusted.
No, I get it, man. I'm looking it up now. I just don't understand. Like, the thing about Antonio Brown is, and these kind of conversations become very tricky when it comes to discussions of public figures' mental health. I don't know whether he has mental health issues or not. Something doesn't seem right with his mental health and his decision making. I don't know. But what, like, just looking at it while you were talking, what I do know is that there are people who have too many people around them who say yes. You know what I'm saying? Like, you need some people in your life who could be like, hey, bro, that ain't it. You stop, you know what I'm saying? Please. Like, hey, look, somebody who could put their arm around you in love and say, hey, this is trash. Don't do this again. And look, it doesn't mean you're trash, but this that you're doing is trash. And this is not good. This is not your best. You're not fulfilling your calling in this, however you want to word it. And
as long as you word it,
as long as you word it, because you got to say it. Right. Here's how I know that Antonio Brown don't have them people around him, because he performed at Rolling Loud Miami.
Right.
So here's a man who ain't got no experience rapping, who gets a stage to perform.
A full stage, the whole thing.
So think about all the people who had to say yes to that. Promoters, like, mm-hmm. decision makers, executives, planners, all this stuff. Somebody had to plan for this man to be on stage. Somebody had to put that set together, all of these. And it all goes back to the people in charge who say yes to this stuff because it makes them money, it gets attention. This man needs help. This is a cry for help. And it sucks because he's a Hall of Fame wide receiver.
Oh, yeah.
He's a Hall of Famer. And yet, it's like he gets in his own way. His behavior toward women is atrocious. And even then, teams were still like, yeah, but we can overlook all this if he just performs. And the straw that broke their back wasn't how he treated women. It wasn't any potential crimes or allegations of these things. It was him walking off the field in that last game and not coming back out there. Him alleging that they wanted him to play hurt. Whatever was the true story, it was him refusing to play. That was the line.
Right. And the thing is, he's a great receiver.
Still,
he's a great receiver. However, as we're talking about poor man's crimes.
poor judgment.
I was reading about his case, right? And this man ejaculated on a woman while she was writing a meal plan for him, if I'm getting this correct.
Wait, now I'm confused. Are you talking about Deshaun Watson?
No, I'm talking about Antonio Brown.
Oh.
That's how he got in trouble with that. And we're going to talk about Deshaun Watson and his poor man crimes as well. But that's how Antonio Brown initially got in trouble, had that sexual assault allegation against him while she was writing out a meal plan. He just ejaculated on her back. Look,
that's just disgusting.
It is. It's so gross.
Absolutely disgusting. Like,
so gross.
I can't imagine how many people have told you yes in your life to make you think that you can behave that way, because it's disgusting behavior. It's atrocious. But at its core, and this is something I say to my wife all the time, that there are people who live in a world of no's and people who live in a world of yeses. Okay. And you and I live in a world of no's. We can't do just anything we want to do. If we want to fly to Europe in the middle of the night, can we do it? Well, not in a private jet, but maybe we could get on a flight. There's certain things that we can and can't do. There are folks who, whatever they imagine, they can do it. If they want to build a theme park in their backyard, they could do it. If they want to have a monkey named Bubbles, they can do it. Whatever they think of, if they want to go to the most exclusive restaurant in the world, they could do it. If they want tickets to something that only they could give, they want to buy a sports team, whatever it is, there are people who have enough money and power that when they want something, it's nothing but yeses. And right. For many of us, we don't live in that world. You have to live in a world of yeses to think that you could treat a woman that way while she's writing a meal plan, presumably for him.
Right.
Think that, yeah, I could do this. What are y'all going to do to me? And right. What's crazy is he's right, because that wasn't the end of his career.
Right. And I would have been like, oh, hell nah, I'm good, man. I don't need you.
But that's not how the NFL thinks. And that's not, look, I'm not trying to cast aspersions on NFL players at all, but there are NFL players who are like, hey, look, at the end of the day, is he going to be at practice? At the end of the day, is he going to be in the game? That's right. What they focus on more sometimes than these allegations and things, because it's absolutely wild, these allegations. And also, I think this is a good time to talk about Deshaun Watson.
Oh, yeah.
And all of the allegations with him, because you so when you heard me laugh earlier, I'm not laughing at any of these abhorrent, disgusting crimes. I'm laughing at the title of this podcast, Poor Man's Crimes, because Banks came up with that. So tell people why you call it Poor Man's Crimes.
Look, okay. If you have enough money, I mean, you got millions of dollars, right? You got contracts that are worth millions with incentives. You're multi-million dollar contracts, right? I feel like if you're committing crimes, they should be like high dollar crimes. Like you know, what's the guy, the receiver for Atlanta, was gambling, right?
Oh, yeah, Calvin Ridley.
Calvin Ridley, yeah. Hey, betting on the games, that's a rich man's crime. You should do it. You should bet on games, right?
Aim higher in your criminal aspirations.
Aim higher. Oh, and then you have, on the other side of the spectrum, Robert Kraft getting a rub and tug at an Asian massage parlor. Look, Robert Kraft owns the fucking Patriots. Bro, you can buy Asians. Like, you can just buy them, bro. You got enough money. You rich enough where you can just buy a whole massage parlor for your basement and stock it with as many Asians girls as you want. Look.
Buy the services of Asian sex workers, you mean.
Right.
Okay.
Ooh. Oh, God, stop being so fucking civil with it. Look.
Look, I'm trying to protect you. You said buy Asians. I'm like, wait a minute.
Buy the services.
You just got to clean that up.
The man can just buy one to live in his house and give him rub and tugs every day if he wants. Look, he's worth billions of dollars, man. So I'm telling you, like, a poor man's crime is getting a rug and tub for $60 at an Asian massage parlor, right? A rich man's crime is illegally betting on games. You know, their shit, what does Martha Stewart get locked up for? That's rich man's crime.
Insider trading.
Insider trading, rich man crimes. You should not, as a multimillionaire or billionaire, you should not be getting in trouble for poor man's crimes, man. Aim higher with your criminal activity.
Aim higher in your criminal aspirations. Right.
No poor man crimes. Don't get rub and tugs from Asian massage parlor. Buy an Asian girl from Japan to come on over and give you a rub and tug in your home.
I don't even know how to respond to this. I'm going to try my best.
It's a poor man's crime is what it is.
Because,
that's the title.
That is going to be the title. I think poor man's crimes is it's kind of tough.
Did I hit you with a whole lot there?
Yeah, a lot. Okay, and here's what's wild. You hit me with a lot and I already knew you were going to say it. I think the thing with Deshaun Watson, there's a lot going on with these cases and what we anticipate is going to be his suspension. His suspension is anticipated to be 2 to 8 games. And I think instead of talking about the suspension, which a lot of folks are going to do, I think it's worth talking about these allegations because he has settled most of them. He's settled like over 20 of them. But when you look at what the allegations are, which is very similar to what we were just talking about with Antonio Brown and this, you know, the sexual assault and coercion and non-consensual sexual behavior toward these women who were masseuses, like the part that never made sense about Deshaun Watson's allegations and the stuff that he was doing is why are you getting masseuses off of Instagram?
Right.
Like, you know, when you listen to professional athletes talk about massages, you know, professional athletes are getting massages from professional masseuses, people who really know how to work and get tension out of these big, strong muscles of professional athletes. And I think Shannon Sharp made the point. He said he would go to his professional masseuse and he would be sore, or him or Dominique Foxworth said they'd be sore, but then they feel so much better that next day. And like, that's the work of a professional masseuse. And I'm not saying that the people that Deshaun Watson commissioned are not professional. What I'm saying is Deshaun Watson is a top NFL quarterback. He is at the highest position of his team.
Right.
And he's got the team is going to work with him, give him the things he's looking for. So he doesn't need to go onto Instagram to get a masseuse. There is nothing about that that makes sense. Yeah. So it's like the very discussion around Deshaun Watson has to start with, why is this man getting like seeking out actively masseuses on Instagram.
Who knows, man? And that's the problem with this whole thing. It's like, you can pay for a real life, real professional private massage. You have enough money. When I think his biggest contract was what, like 100 and something million, 104
nothing
million
compared
or something
to this
like
new
that.
Contract.
Right. But even still, with millions of dollars, there is no reason why you should be you should have your people finding massage people for you, like
a team.
Hire a private masseuse that'll come over, and if you want to expose yourself or if you want to touch some of these girls or whatever, hey, look, go to Alligator Escorts, man. Actually, you know what? Don't do that, because that's a poor man's crime. Go buy a high end sex worker and have her massage you, and you can pretend, bro. It's just, it's sad. Like, you could pretend she was on Instagram.
Yeah, like,
you can pay her to make an Instagram and then go message her in her DMs and say, hey, come on over.
What a role play.
Right.
But also, like, non-disclosure agreements. I don't understand when you have that much money. Like, there's no way you could think like I don't want to say that. Let me rephrase. I don't understand the thought process, and if there even is one, for you to acquire the services of these folks and not care about their consent. Because if you have their consent, then you can have them sign a non-disclosure agreement. And then behind closed doors, between two or more adults of sound mind and consent, we don't care what you do. Like, right. I'm not waking up in the morning going, man, I wonder what Deshaun Watson did last night. Like, I don't care what he does. But it's like, honestly, if these allegations are true, and I'm inclined to believe they're true because it's just too many of them. And the fact that the women, various women chose to reveal their names, you know, like, right. Like there's going to be some people who say, well, you know, there's people who lie in these different things. So how do you know they're telling the truth? Well, society isn't fair toward men and women when it comes to sexual assault. And society is not fair to men who suffer or who are victims of sexual assault. It's definitely not fair to women, though. And right. So there's a lot to lose by putting your name on this stuff. And women did that. And so I, for the life of me, can't understand why Deshaun Watson would do what he did and do it as many times as he did. And unless, like I said before, he lives in a world of yeses.
There's no consequences. Like,
yep, when
they have these issues, they can issue a statement. Oh, I'm sorry. Or they can send somebody an email apologizing for what they did, or pay them some hush money to shut them up. The problem is they can continue to do these things because there is no real consequences for them. Robert Kraft didn't get locked up for getting a rub and tug, and he's not going to. The president of the United States was grabbing girls by the pussy. Jameis Winston was grabbing girls by the pussy too, the Uber driver. So when you talk about these people that are role models and people that are high society that have all the money that they can ask for, why are they committing poor man crimes? I don't understand. I'm going to say that like 100 times.
Aspire in your criminal aspirations. Aspire for more. So
aim high.
Well, and it's funny you bring that up about Deshaun because of hush money and also the president. I'm going to come back to that one. But the thing about the hush money, the thing about the hush money with Deshaun that I think is worth noting is that Deshaun's first lawsuit, I'm going to see if I have it in front of me. Like, his first lawsuit was like in 2021, I believe. So let me see if I can pull up the timeline, because I work in litigation. I handle, you know, lawsuits. And so I was very interested to see kind of the legal aspect of this. So January 28, 2021, ESPN reported that Watson requested a trade. No, March 16, 2021, plaintiff attorney, so the attorney for the plaintiffs, the people accusing Deshaun Watson, Tony Busby, announces that a sexual assault lawsuit has been filed against Watson. He denies it on Twitter, denying all allegations. So here's the thing. So March 16th is when we heard about the first lawsuit. But that is not the first time that him or his lawyer or his team or his team or his football team or any of these folks heard about it. And I think Mike Florio of NBC Sports made a really good point where he said, normally in cases like this, somebody is going to make an allegation against you. You're famous, so these things are going to happen. And you can just pay the hush money and it goes away. And for whatever reason, they didn't do that. And so then all the other cases started to come out more and more and more and more. Okay. And so the way I see it, I really think that there is a question of, from a strategic standpoint, not a moral standpoint, because I think it's fair to say that it doesn't make sense from a moral standpoint why he was doing what he was doing. It doesn't make sense at all. And it just feels disgusting and predatory. However, why wouldn't you just address this from the first one? But then again, why even do that? What does it matter if you're still going to get like 200 whatever million dollars guaranteed by a new team? You got a team to give up draft picks, pay you over 200 million guaranteed in the largest like quarterback contract ever. And right. They structured the contract so his first year he only gets paid $1 million, so that even if he's suspended for half the season or a full season, it's not really going to hurt him. Just like the president, that video came out of him talking about grabbing women, kissing them without consent, and he still won.
He still won.
So it's like, why? Like, I almost want to say something to the tune of, like, why would you let things get this far? Why would you not change or address your behavior, address the allegations? But what does it matter if they're still going to get away with it? Like, that's the bigger issue. Like, all of these guys, Antonio Brown did it, got on another team, ended up playing for the Ravens, and then played for somebody else after the Ravens. Was Tampa Bay right after the Ravens? Not the Ravens. I'm sorry. The Raiders.
The Raiders.
And then, excuse me.
No, he went to. You're talking about Antonio Brown. He went to
the Raiders.
Patriots after the Raiders.
Right. Patriots. Yeah. And then he went to Tampa Bay. Right. So he still got multiple other job offers after that.
Right.
Trump became president after that, and then Deshaun Watson got one of the biggest contracts ever. The most guaranteed money ever. Where are the consequences?
There's none, man. Even me being a huge Steelers fan, Ben Roethlisberger, Roethlisberger. I mean, two accounts of sexual assault, man. And then he maintained his position on the Steelers. Dude got married and everything. I was like, man, somebody married him after that? Like, I mean, come on. I love Ben Roethlisberger. I love his play on the field, but at the same time, man, you can't be cornering girls in bathrooms. Like, it's not cool. It's not what's hot in
the
streets.
We got people. I feel like this is not really poor man's crimes, because I feel like rich people are doing this stuff all the time. I think we live in a society where it's really about how you execute things that leads to judgment, not so much what you do. So, for example, if you just in the middle of the day walk up to someone and just grab their wallet or their purse and steal money from them, society's going to look at you and they're going to say, oh, they're a thief and they're disgusting and they don't want to work and they're a horrible person, and put them behind bars. But if you run a hedge fund and you take millions of dollars from people and invest it incorrectly, quote unquote, or you crater the U.S. economy when it comes to fraudulent or suspicious investment vehicles like the recession, or you push NFTs and crypto so that you could get people off of their bread and you can make money for yourself. The NFTs right. example is a much better one. I'm going to stick with that one. Nobody looks at you and goes, oh, they're a terrible person, because they look at what you did in a more, quote, legitimate fashion. So I don't actually think sexual assault and coercion is a, quote, poor man's crime. I think it's how it was done. I think these details of coming out makes it feel like they were sloppy and terrible.
So you don't feel that grabbing girls by the pussy and doing all this crazy shit, cornering girls in the bathroom, ejaculating on the back of a girl's dress is a poor man's crime? I am telling you, as a rich person, and I'm gonna make this point real quick, as a filthy rich human being with millions of dollars, there are sex workers out there that you can pay to do this. Look, I don't know about you, but you know, if I'm living paycheck to paycheck, I can't afford a sex worker, especially not with inflation nowadays. I can't afford a sex worker. That's too much money. Man, I gotta buy groceries. Right. I gotta buy groceries. I gotta pay for gas that's like $10 a gallon. Like, look, man, the reason why I say they're poor man's crime is because if you are poor, you have to go grab some pussy. You have to go do this stuff. If you're rich, you can pay a girl to grab her pussy. You can pay a girl to give you a rub and tug more than $60. Man, you're going to have to come off your funds a little bit, man. I appreciate you sticking up for them.
No,
but these are man crimes, sir.
I'm not sticking up for anybody.
It's a poor man's crime.
I'm not sticking up for nobody. This is what I'm saying. What I'm saying is it's rich people doing it.
Right.
And I'm saying it's people at all economic levels who participate in this kind of sexism, this kind of misogyny, this behavior. So all I'm saying is rich people are doing this too. But I get your point. Your point is they're thinking like they're not aspiring mentally to higher places.
They're not reaching higher.
To me, the dear God.
Look, let me.
The bigger issue is the lack of consent.
Oh yeah, I mean it is a huge issue, and mm-hmm. that's the problem. And the thing is, there's no my biggest problem with it is the consequences, the lack of consequences. How many people do you see like Matt Lauer and friggin' Ben Roethlisberger and I mean, there's been over 44 athletes. Professional football players that have had sexual assault allegations against them. 44, man, that we know of, right? Mm-hmm. And the thing is, none of those people are behind bars. And then you take another poor man's crime, dog fighting, Michael Vick gets thrown under the jail. So hey, look, not every poor man's crime you have to stand trial for, but at the same time, like, there are things that are going on in this world, man, that blows my mind that these people are not held accountable for their actions, especially when it comes to sexual assault. It's insane to me.
Absolutely. And I just,
poor man's crimes.
Well, like, I agree with your point. I just was making the point that rich people do it. But no, like, this is absolutely nuts. And, like, you have these guys who are getting away with it. And, like, and I get, to a degree, the pathology of it. I understand it as best as I can. You've got these people whose contributions to the labor force are valued at such a high level that a lot of people have a stake in protecting them. And also, folks are big and strong. I think the only guy I could think of who did go to jail for rape was Darren Sharper.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only one I could think of who went. And Michael Vick's case with the dog fight, I mean, obviously the dog fighting was wrong and it was illegal. But the way he got treated for that compared to like other folks, it tells you a lot about how our system works. And that's a big part of it. Like, whether people like it or not, the way that these men are treated, whether it's Deshaun Watson, whether it's Antonio Brown, Donald Trump, any of these folks with allegations and or convictions of sexual assault, predatory behavior, what you see is these guys are not the exceptions to how society works. They're the rule.
Right.
And what's unfortunate is that we have an economic and political like framework in the United States, and not just the United States, but this is where we live, so I'll mention it here, where a lot of people are striving to be rich and powerful. They want to make money, they want to be rich, and they want to be powerful so that they could do stuff like this.
Right.
And so they, like people, even people who are not rich and not powerful, have a vested interest in protecting the status quo because they can project and imagine themselves into these folks. There's a lot of men who saw, who heard Donald Trump's comments before he was elected president and still said, yeah, I can see where he's coming from.
I cannot see where he's coming from.
I can't.
But I just don't like to go up and grab pussies. It's just not my thing.
Kiss women without consent. But right. there is an unsettling number of women, and a lot of people call this rape culture, but there's an unsettling significant amount of men in this country who do think like this. It's not all men. I'm not saying every man's like this. Calm down, folks.
Right.
But there are a number of men who think like this. And there's a number of guys who want, like, they see women, and they don't see them as people. They see them as property. They see them as meat. And they would love to be able to dominate women like that. And sometimes their critique of these men is like, because I think there's a number of folks whose critique is not, I can't believe you did that. It's, I can't believe you did that so sloppily.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, why would you, like, no, actually, let me rephrase it. Their critique is, why did you get caught?
Right. And that's the problem. And the thing about Trump is, and I'm only going to talk about him for a minute because I'm not a huge fan and everybody knows that.
Well, so I just ate, so I don't want my stomach to
Right. Mm-hmm. Don't puke on the mic.
Yeah.
So the thing about Trump is he did, right. He did have non-disclosure agreements. And he shut them the hell up. So, I mean, when you pay people off to just be quiet about your crimes, that is a rich man's crime, right? Oh, but when you're just doing it all willy-nilly, there are 30 sexual assault allegations against them. That's the last time I checked. That was what the number was, 30. And the man's about to run for president again. And some people that are just cool with that are going to vote him in. And that's the problem.
Absolutely. And I saw some underage allegations that people still let it ride. And I was just like, y'all,
hanging with Jeff or Epstein and, you know, dancing on 17-year-olds, I'm sure.
16, and you talk 15, about a rich person. You talk about rich crimes.
Rich man
Epstein crime. And Ghislaine Maxwell. That's rich people crimes. And you know. And I won't stay here too long because I could talk about this all day, but you know that they were involved in rich people crimes because they sentenced her to 10 years, but they also didn't release the clients.
Right.
And that's where I'm like, oh, there had to be some powerful people on that list because y'all was like, we're not going to let this information get out, which tells me, okay, it's some folks in there that y'all might be friends with.
10 years for trafficking minors, man.
Yeah, I think she got 10 years.
10 years. Yeah. 10 years. Yeah. Look, a poor man, if he was taking girls across state lines and, you know, trafficking girls and stuff like that, a poor man would be in prison for the rest of his natural born life. But she get 10 years.
Yeah, and then Epstein's no longer with us.
Right.
And I think many of us question whether he knew things that people, you know, didn't want him to know and was going to talk in ways that people didn't want him to talk. But even then, it's like, if he would have been punished, How much time would it have been? How would it have gone? Yeah, and if it was a poor person, you know, because our criminal justice, our legal system is so tied up in wealth and who you know and what kind of representation you could get. Yeah, the poor person doesn't stand a chance. And the solution isn't to then say, well, it's not to give people cover. It's to really get to the root of these crimes so that these things don't happen. But no, you're exactly right. Now, with Deshaun Watson coming to the Cleveland Browns and it pissing off a lot of fans, including Cleveland Browns fans, your boy Baker Mayfield needed a new job and he got traded to Carolina. You wanted to talk about Baker. I told you I'd save my opinion of Baker for the podcast. What is it you want to talk about with Baker, Savage?
I think Baker Mayfield is a good quarterback. People are going to hang me for that, and I don't care. Look, I've watched multiple Browns games, being a huge Steelers fan. Ooh. I think he's an exceptional quarterback. Ooh. I think I don't know what happened in the locker room, and I don't know why people hate him so much, but I like what the man did on the field. I think he's a great quarterback. As a Steelers fan, I would have loved to have him on the Steelers. We got Mitch Trubisky. But, you know, like, Baker Mayfield is a lot better than Mitch Trubisky. Like, I personally like the guy. I don't know why teams were passing on him. I don't know why players were sending out tweets talking about, nah, leave him up there. Like, I don't get that. So, can you tell me what is so wrong with this man that nobody wants to play with him? It makes no sense to me when you look at Antonio Brown's off-field antics and the shit that he was doing. And then you look at Baker Mayfield. Antonio Brown, people were wanting him after he ejaculated on some girl's back. But Baker Mayfield lost a couple games, played injured all last season. And you didn't want to fucking pick him up, even though he still almost made it to the playoffs. This is a good quarterback. Why y'all hating on Baker Mayfield?
Okay. And
Steelers fans saying this, so you know it's true.
No, it's not. So there's a lot.
I knew that was coming. I don't know why. Yeah. I just knew. Civil V. Savage.
Yeah. So Civil V.
Challenge.
Savage. A challenge. Challenge flag. Okay, let me explain my perspective with Baker Mayfield, and this might answer your questions. Okay, so the best way I can explain it is so let's go on the field, off the field, and then let's talk about the coverage of Baker. Because those are the three areas that have to be discussed with Baker Mayfield. Mm-hmm. So first, let's talk about Baker on the field. Okay, on the field, I do not believe he is a good quarterback, but I do not believe he is a bad quarterback. I believe that Baker, like many other players, is victim to organizational issues. Okay, I think that when it comes to football and sports, I think that most people have a hard time understanding that the organization plays a central role in the success or failure of a player. And ironically, it was your coach who said that recently. Mike Tomlin was on an interview. I can't remember the podcast. It might've been with Ryan Clark. It might've been. And he was saying that it's the coach's job to develop players. And if players are not given everything they need to succeed or fail, it's on the coaches. And then if you give them everything they need and they fail, then you just have to move on and find other players who will step up and play. So I say that because a lot of people, when they talk about whether a player is a boom or a bust, they just focus only on that player and not the organization. I think especially when it comes to the NFL, the success cannot be put on just one person, and the failure can't just be put on one person unless that person committed egregious mistakes and errors.
Which he did not do in playing.
Right. So with Baker, because I don't actually like Baker, but I'm defending him right now when it comes to his on-the-field play. I'm not going to defend him off the field, but we'll get to that in a second. So on the field, I think Baker suffered from a number of problems. He has a terrible owner in Jimmy Haslam. Absolutely horrible owner.
Right.
They have not had a great front office, although I think the guy who was there, he was doing the best he could. He got there maybe a year or two before they drafted Baker.
I like how you said doing the best he could. Nah, he's
no, no,
right.
The GM, I don't think the GM did a bad job.
No, no, the team was stacked, for sure.
Yeah, the team is loaded. Right. When it comes to the coach, they made a number of bad decisions.
Yes.
They never should have promoted Freddie Kitchens from quarterbacks coach to head coach. That was absolutely stupid. Ridiculous. That's the stuff the NFL does for white coaches that they would never in their wildest dreams imagine doing for a black coach. A black coach, y'all can put it down on the paper. Write it down, put it in blood. They will never promote a black quarterback coach to a head coach. If you don't believe me, go look at Eric Bieniemy over at Kansas City. Right. Still doesn't have a head coaching job. They give all the credit to Patrick Mahomes. But when it comes to Freddie Kitchens, they say, oh, we're going to give all the credit to Freddie Kitchens, and we're going to jump him not to coordinator, but to head coach. That was a terrible idea, because a head coach is supposed to be like a CEO. They're not supposed to be like a coordinator. So that was the first problem. So then, because he had that playoff success, he played some good games.
Right, the one
season. Then he got Stefanski as the new coach, new system, and you got to give players time when it comes to a new system. He's trying to make it work. He gets injured, and I don't know whose idea it was, but they let that man play injured. That was a stupid idea.
To play.
That's a stupid idea. And for a team that picked him the number one overall pick, meaning he should be a Hall of Famer, you pick at number one somebody who's going to be a franchise player, potential Hall of Famer. Whoever's idea it was to start him, absolutely stupid. And I put some blame on Baker, because I believe Baker wanted to play. But I don't put majority of the blame on Baker. Do you?
When Baker Mayfield, that first season that he broke that record for the most touchdowns by a rookie quarterback, Baker Mayfield was on fire his first year. So I can see how you would want him in the game all the time. But there comes a time when if somebody says, hey, look, I injured my leg, I injured my arm, I can't do this, pull them out. Take them out the game. There's no reason for you to put your number one overall pick in the fucking game. And a man that has turned your 0-16 team around to what it is. Like, he turned that team around. And I mean, granted, they had the addition of Kareem Hunt and Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry. Like, they added some weapons to that team that made them a good team. But at the end of the day, too, like, his first year when he what was it, 60 something, 62 touchdowns or something his first year as a rookie? That is what you hope for 62, in a rookie. 60, or was it
62? 60? Would be like, yeah, that had to, No. It had to have been less than that. 62 would like blow away a lot of records. But the one thing I want to add is I want a slight disagreement with something you said. I don't see Baker as the type to say, hey, I'm injured, take me out. Instead, what I think should have happened is, hey, Baker, we know you're injured. We know you want to play. We're sitting you down. And that's what they didn't do. That was ridiculous. So
yeah,
Baker played. Yeah, Baker played injured, and it hurt his stock. And I also think that they didn't like him anymore because of the way he is maybe in the locker room and stuff. So that's where I think they said, okay, let's find a way to part from him. And what they said in the offseason was, we want somebody who acts more like an adult. Okay, so that gets to Baker off the field. I think Baker off the field has been acting up until recently like an immature teenager. And by that, I mean the way he carries himself in the press conferences, the way he talks, the way he's always got a chip on his shoulder, the way he always wants to square off against somebody, no matter who it is in the media. That is not how a franchise quarterback should compose himself. Black quarterbacks don't get to act like that.
But black that's one of my don't act like that in general.
Because they can't afford to.
But we weren't in the huddle though. And that's the problem, is like maybe people have got annoyed by it. Also, that stat, by the way, it's 27. My bad. I was giving him way too much credit. But it's okay. 27. So his rookie 27 touchdowns, the only highest person higher than that is Justin Herbert, who broke it like a couple years later. But all in all, like, this man, he's arrogant, which is okay. I mean, I'm arrogant. Look, I'm a beautiful motherfucker right here. I look good. I sound good. I smell good. 6'4", sexy. All right. Sorry, man. Back to my point. But yeah. I mean, it's okay to be arrogant. And people misconceive arrogance with confidence a lot of the time. That's not the problem. Is it confidence or is it cockiness?
But that's not the problem. The problem is, we have heard this all our lives. When you are a quarterback, you have to carry yourself like a quarterback. And so when it comes to Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, even Ben Roethlisberger, despite the horrible stuff that happened off the field and the motorcycle accident, on the field, he carried himself the way a quarterback is supposed to carry himself. Dan Marino, Warren Moon, Randall Cunningham, Donovan McNabb. You go down the list of how you should carry yourself as a quarterback. But with Baker, and this gets to the third problem I have, because I don't like the way Baker carried himself off the field, okay? It wasn't that he's arrogant. It's fine being arrogant, but you need to put that in check, because you are the quarterback. You are the leader of the team. Russell Wilson doesn't get to do that. Michael Vick didn't get to do that. Black quarterbacks are held to a significantly higher standard than white quarterbacks are. And
you think so?
Oh, I know so. Like, the black quarterbacks have always been held to a higher standard when we were even allowed to play quarterback, because even that's a reason for.
But that sounds contradictory compared to what's happening with Deshaun Watson, who sexually assaulted 20-something girls. I mean,
because they're not.
And they're still grabbing him.
Because they're not the same things at all. One of them is about how the person carried themselves on the field and off the field when it comes to their team. The other has to do with what a person did outside of the field. And a lot of players and fans and coaches and people in leadership and organizational folks will turn their head from what happens off the field if it means you still play and you still deliver and you still get them fantasy points and you still earn them money
at
and
a
you
high
still
level.
Yeah, you still enrich them in some way. Whereas Baker acted very immature, and guys like Robert Griffin III didn't get the chance to act like that. I remember when Robert Griffin III was criticized, and they were like, oh, well, he's doing commercials and he just got in the league. He's wearing cornrows, like all of this stuff. Baker comes in being arrogant, loudmouth, and doing commercials, and everybody changed their criteria. And it was, oh, I like that fire from him. I like that chip on his shoulder. And here's my problem, because I'm not
when
actually.
When you have a chip on your shoulder like that, then you come in with a little bit of like, fuck you in your head.
But
I can guarantee you the record, he will shatter the Carolina record that he will shatter the record that they had last year. He will destroy that.
That's not saying much.
Well,
Carolina. That's not saying much. I mean,
we could do
a
bet.
Better than Sam Darnold.
Oh. Let's do a Civil Savage bet right now.
What you want to bet?
$1. A gentleman's bet. $1.
Okay, what is the bet?
That Carolina Panthers will get 11 wins this season.
11 wins?
Okay, 11 wins. With Baker Mayfield, if Baker Mayfield is standing at the helm.
Okay, hold on. Let me look up. Let me see if the schedule is available. Hold on. I need to see that schedule.
I don't need to see the schedule. I can tell you that they will at least get 11 wins this season.
2022 schedule.
You got to think too, man. The division that they're in the division with the Saints. They're in the division with the Buccaneers.
Okay.
Those two teams, and they're in your favorite team's division.
Don't you do that. You know good and well. Don't you do that. Okay, hold on. I don't want to talk about the Falcons. I don't.
Okay.
I don't want to talk about they infuriate me. Okay, hold on.
All right.
There's one point I want to make about Baker, okay? My key point about why I don't like Baker. I'm not mad at him for having a chip on his shoulder and being arrogant. I find it very annoying. But I don't blame him for that. I blame the media because they don't cover black quarterbacks the same way. They don't give black quarterbacks the leeway that they give white quarterbacks. And right. So if there were a black quarterback coming in with the same chip on his shoulder and acting the same way as Baker, he would have been demolished coming in.
All right.
It would have been, oh, he doesn't act professional. Can he really lead a team? Lamar Jackson came in being able to play quarterback, winning a Heisman, and they didn't even believe he could play the position.
Right.
And he's won an MVP award. He is the offense for the Ravens. And you have people still who don't believe in him. Like, this is what
they were like that with Michael Vick, too. Because,
right,
I remember that game, they were talking crap about Michael Vick,
yes,
and they were like, well, Michael Vick's arm is blah blah blah. If he couldn't run, he wouldn't be great. This man stood in the pocket and threw for like 400 yards. I was like, in all of you guys' faces, he didn't.
Okay,
there was a game, and I know he was playing for Atlanta. There was a game where I was just like, holy shit. This dude just print ape shit, just throwing the ball.
Yeah. And so that's my biggest problem with Baker. And that's why, like, I'm being fair to him because I don't think he's a bad quarterback. I don't think he's a great quarterback, but I also think a lot of that is because of the Browns. I think if he gets, because he also did get a couple different offensive coordinators. I think if he can get a stable coaching staff, which I'm not convinced he's going to get in Carolina because they're coaching for their jobs.
Right.
If he could get a stable coaching organization, if he could get a good coordinator and he gets some time to get the offense under his system, I actually think Baker could be average to above average. So
average to above. I think he's already above average.
No,
I would put him easily in the top 10.
This year. Wait, top 10. Okay, hold on. You throw so much at me. Okay, we got to come back to the gentleman's bet. Okay, hold on. So top 10.
He will finish in the top 10.
Okay, hold on. We got to go through the top 10. We got to go through the quarterbacks. Okay, so Tom Brady.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Allen.
Right.
Lamar Jackson.
Right.
Russell Wilson. That's six. Russell Wilson. Justin Herbert. That's seven. Okay. Derek Carr.
No.
That's eight.
I think he's better than Carr. Baker Mayfield is better than Derek Carr.
No, he's not.
He's so much
better
than
Derek
Carr.
And I'm not even that high on Derek Carr.
I'm not high on Derek Carr at all. I think I wouldn't even put Derek Carr in the top 15.
That's nuts. I'm pretty sure he's a top 15 quarterback because the league only has 16 teams.
How many playoffs has Derek Carr been to?
Okay, so hold on. This is really interesting.
Answer that question. How many playoffs has Derek Carr been to?
I think he's been to one or two.
Since taking the Raiders? You might want to fact check that.
No,
I'll give you a minute.
hold on. Wait, so the question is, how many has Derek Carr been to?
How many playoff games has Derek Carr been to?
Playoff stats. Okay.
And he came in the league in what, 2016?
Okay.
Yeah, go look it up. This man, look, I'll kill some airtime right now because I want this man to look it up. So I do not think Derek Carr is the top 15. With what he has, you know, on the Raiders and the coaching and everything that's going on, Gruden was a great coach despite his racist, homophobic bullshit. He was still a good coach. But Derek Carr,
Gruden?
Yeah,
no, he wasn't.
He was a good quarterback coach too.
No, he wasn't.
He's a guy that builds his team around the quarterback, And you built a whole team around.
The Raiders did better after he left.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. But, I mean, he's still a good coach. There's a reason why he.
Oh, yeah.
They paid him so much money to come back to football.
Yeah, he got to the playoffs. Yeah, he got to the playoffs in 2022. And he lost to the Cincinnati Bengals. Yep.
That was before the playoffs.
Wild card is the playoffs.
And Derek Carr, when did he come into the league?
2016? He's been in the league maybe 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, I believe it was 2016 when he entered the league.
Okay,
Baker Mayfield entered the league in 2018 and made two playoff
runs. Who had the better team built for them?
Both of them had good teams.
There is no way you could say the Raiders have had a better team built around Derek Carr than what Baker Mayfield had.
All right, so let's take it this year. Again, I'm happy to make a water bet. I will bet you that. A $1 bet. I will bet you that Baker Mayfield finishes ahead of Derek Carr this year.
In what measurement?
I'm not even high.
Wait. In what measurement?
I mean, ranking, ADP, average draft position in fantasy. Like,
I'm not measuring how a quarterback does by their draft position in fantasy.
Hey,
I'm not doing that.
Well, hey. If Derek Carr is not going to finish ahead of Baker Mayfield, he's just not.
And yes, he will. I'll take you on that bet.
Derek Carr has the better team this year.
Okay, I'll take you on that bet.
Who's on Carolina? DJ Moore and
you actually bet. Think
we're going to shake on it?
Yeah,
when
you,
I see
no,
you next
yeah,
week.
We'll shake on it. If you think that Baker Mayfield with Robbie Anderson and whoever else
is gonna
finish higher than Derek Carr with Davante Adams,
right.
With Darren Waller, with
right.
Hunter Renfro.
Right.
Nah.
And look,
nah.
The only person that wasn't on the team last year that's on the team this year is Davante Adams. However, the team last year was stacked. I mean, you still got Josh Jacobs. You still got Darren Waller. You still got Hunter Renfro. The only people that you don't have is, what, Henry Ruggs? Because he crazy?
Yeah.
Committing poor man crimes?
Yeah, what he did was absolutely horrible. No, we need to go back to this. We need to go back to this. How many wins are they going to get? Let
11. I will tell you right now.
Now
Baker Mayfield
gonna
will get 11 wins.
Okay, so let's go through the schedule real quick.
Because he plays better with a chip on the shoulder. When he's pissed off, he plays better.
Okay, so this is assuming he starts the season.
He will. They're crazy if they start Sam Darnold over Baker Mayfield.
I'll give them the win against the Browns because I think the quarterback for the Browns is probably going to be Josh
Jacoby
Rosen.
Brissett.
Maybe. Okay. I'll give them the win. Do I want to give them the win over the Giants?
Oh, God. Come on, Daniel
Jones.
Give
them the win over the Giants.
Come on.
Okay, wait. I'll give them the win over the Saints. They're not beating the Cardinals. They're not beating the 49ers. You said 11 wins? So 11 and 6.
Trey Lance is going to win. Right.
So you said 11 and 6. Okay, so they can't lose more than 6. Okay, so already one loss, Cardinals. 49ers, Rams, Bucks. Okay, that's 4 losses. Falcons, they'll probably win that one.
They probably win that one. They're going to win that one. That's your favorite team,
look. The Falcons are aggressively mediocre. They'll surprise you.
Aggressively mediocre.
Yeah.
I've never heard that phrase before.
They are.
Aggressively
the
mediocre.
The Falcons are aggressively mediocre because they're not only a mediocre franchise, but they're aggressive about it. So if they win 4 straight and you go, oh, we might do something, then they're going to lose like another 7 or 8 and then finish
actually,
8-8.
And the thing is, I actually think that they can beat the Cardinals. And let me tell you why.
Please don't tell me you think the Panthers could beat the Cardinals.
Look, I do. And the reason why, the Panthers defense is good. Like, people are shitting on the Panthers. The Panthers defense is really good. Now, you're missing, you got Zach Ertz. That's going to be your top receiver.
Deshaun Watson might still be out. Not Deshaun, sorry. What's his name?
DeAndre Hopkins is suspended for four games. Or and six games. Six games.
Christian Kirk got, he left. And
Christian Kirk is gone. So these are new receivers that Kyler Murray is playing with. And the Panthers defense is good.
I don't know about that.
So I honestly, I can tell you, I think that they have Hollywood Brown, Sir Drops a Lot, on their team now. And that's the only person that they have. They have Sir Drops a Lot, and I call him that. That's my name for him. Marquise Brown. And then they have Zach Ertz.
Okay, so I,
and James Conner is their running back.
I don't think they get 11 wins because I see them losing to, let me see. Okay, let me go to a regular season. Okay, so I don't see them beating the Cardinals or the 49ers. That's two losses. They're not beating the Rams. They're not beating the Rams. That's three losses. They're not beating the Bucks. That's four losses. Bengals, five. Ravens, six. Broncos, seven. Steelers.
You don't think that they're going to beat the, they're going to beat the Broncos? Come on, man.
Dude, the Broncos are more stacked than Carolina. The defense is stacked.
Look.
And then the offense is stacked with Russell Wilson.
And look, and people are giving Russell Wilson.
And a run game.
People are giving Russell Wilson too much hype now.
No.
Look, I've watched this man last year. I watched Russell Wilson last year squander a good team.
That was not a good team.
You don't
if
think
it was a Tyler, good team.
He had Tyler Lockett. He had DK Metcalf.
That's those not are a good team.
Literally the two of the best top receivers in the
that's
NFL.
That's not a good team. In my opinion. Those are two very good to great wide receivers. Two great wide receivers don't make a good team. That
you
team
have Rashard Penny, who was running all over.
That team was not strong on the lines. That team could not stop offenses when they needed to. I watched them Seahawks. Nope, they were not. They were not.
I watched them too. They were not good last year.
It was a total team. It wasn't.
And now they traded away all their superstars too, which makes it even worse.
Right, because they're going to rebuild. But I will say this about Russell. I do think that he is being hyped because of the potential. However, I think he's being hyped because of the Denver roster.
That Jerry roster, Judy and Cortland Sutton are not DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. They're just
strong
not.
Offense.
They're not.
Strong
man.
Defense. Like, dude.
He had a stronger one in Seattle.
No, he did not have a stronger roster.
And
top
their
to
defense
bottom.
Is not.
No, he did not.
Their defense is not as good as Seattle's defense either.
I completely agree.
You think that Cortland Sutton and Jerry Judy are better than DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett?
That's not what I said. What I said, roster top to bottom is a better roster objectively than the one in Seattle. If it wasn't, he wouldn't have gone to Denver. And the issue that Denver is going to run into is that conference, that division.
Oh, yeah. They're going to get slaughtered in that division.
I don't know if they're going to get slaughtered, but somebody is because they've got to go up against the Raiders, the Chargers, and the Chiefs. And right. I actually think that people are sleeping on the Chiefs because the criticism I've had for the Chiefs for years is this offense where you just get it to Tyreek Hill and have him run is not going to work
it's
in the long term. And what they did
but they said, okay.
Well, what they did is they said, okay, he doesn't want to stay here, so let's get what we can and let's build a more traditional offense. Because if you watch that Chiefs team, when they went up against the Bengals, they could not beat the Bengals both week 17 and in the playoffs because they didn't have a traditional wide receiver. They couldn't call traditional wide receiver routes and plays. They could do that now. Now, is it going to be the same as having Tyreek? No, but it doesn't have to be. All you need is somebody who could get you a first down who is not Travis Kelce, and you're going to be fine. So right. I will take you up on it because I don't see Carolina winning 11 games this season.
Yes.
I'll take you up on that. I think they might get close. They might get close. They might be 9-8, but I don't see them being 11-6.
So I know we got tangent on this, but let's talk about Colin Kaepernick.
Okay. Yes. Go ahead.
This is a good man. I was mad when I heard about how Warren Sapp, was it, dogged him out about the tryout for the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
Colin Kaepernick was a Super Bowl quarterback, took his team to the Super Bowl. He was an amazing quarterback. Yes, he got shitted on when he stood up for what he believed in, and rightly, I mean, it happened, you know, and people were pissed and how he disrespected America or whatever when a Navy SEAL told him that he should do that. But I won't get into the details about that. I think Colin Kaepernick can come back and be a good quarterback. Your thoughts?
Okay, so I'm a big Kaepernick fan. I actually stopped watching NFL for a couple of years because of how he was treated. To me, I think Kaepernick can play in the NFL. I think it is a joke some of the quarterbacks who have been able to get an opportunity compared to him, such as Nathan Peterman, who threw like 5 interceptions in like a half. And so I have read some reports about the Raiders tryout. And honestly, the fact they tried him out honestly made me consider being a Raiders fan for a little bit. But the way I see it, it seemed like there was some agenda-driven journalism coming out in regards to the way they talked about him. And so the way I see it, I think Kaepernick can play in the NFL. I think that for whatever reason, there is this hesitancy to give him a shot. I think it's an issue of control. Mm-hmm. I think coaches feel like they can't control him, quote unquote. And for me, the saddest part about the Colin Kaepernick situation is that, number one, Kaepernick was sitting on the bench during the anthem. And he only went to kneeling because a former Green Beret, Nate Boyer, told him.
Navy SEAL, correction.
No, you're fine. But he was the one who said, hey, it would be more respectful if you kneel. And he did it, and all he did was end up losing out on opportunity to further his career because he unfortunately listened to a white person, and because white people were just like, oh, this is an attack on everything I hold sacred. And I'm just like, dude, it just makes me wish that Kaepernick had never listened to him, because Marshawn Lynch sat on the bench, and nobody ever had a problem with Marshawn. The second thing is, all my life, I've been an NFL fan and a football fan. I played football, wasn't good at it, but loved it. You played football. You went to college to play football. And so you're raised your entire life being told that, hey, at the end of the day, it's about winning. It's about doing whatever it takes to win. And in the NFL, that's a lie. It is not true. It's not about winning. Because if it was about winning, Kaepernick would have had a job already.
He would have had a job the very next year.
And for me, it shook at the core of what I thought about the NFL. I don't, and I want to be clear, I don't think this is true of all teams and all owners, because some teams already had a quarterback, so it didn't make sense for them to give him a shot because it was like, well, we have Matt Ryan, or we have Ben Roethlisberger, or we have Lamar Jackson, or we have whoever, or we have Tom Brady. Like, so that I get. But for these teams that could have used a quarterback, like Jacksonville.
So many. Like the Jets.
If Jacksonville picked him up when they went to the AFC Championship against the Patriots, they probably beat the Patriots to go to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Because their weakness on that team was Blake Bortles. Like, there are teams that could have taken a whole different path of success had they picked him up, and they wouldn't do it. Right. And it just made me go, you know what? Okay, y'all are not, like, there are teams here who are not really interested in winning. And I think what we see from the Commanders and the way that they handle these tickets and the way they've been defrauding basically the other team they play with so they don't have to share ticket sales and stuff is that there's a myth that all these teams want to win and they're doing whatever it takes to win. No, the players are probably doing everything they can to win. The coaches are probably doing everything they can to win. Probably. But these owners and some of these organizational heads who don't have to worry about their jobs year to year. Nah, man.
And you see that with Brian Flores, like,
perfect example.
When Brian Flores, brought it up, they were wanting him to throw games, you know, and it's sad because this is the world we live in where I, as a owner, as a GM or whatever, I want to win. Like, I would pull people on my team that would give me the best shot of winning a Super Bowl ring.
I agree. And to me, like there's a show called Winning Time on HBO about the Lakers, the Showtime Lakers, and it's a really good show. And the way that Jerry Buss is depicted, Dr. Jerry Buss, of number one, wanting to have a good time, and number two, wanting to win, like, that to me is why I'd want to be an owner if I was ever going to have the opportunity. I want to have fun, whatever fun looks like. My fun is different than Dr. Buss's, but I'd want to have fun and I'd want to win. I would not want to lose. Losing would suck. But for some of these folks, they get into it for money, or they get into it because owning a team is more exclusive and more rare than owning a yacht, or owning a mansion, or owning a plane. Only 32 people can own an NFL team.
Right.
And so you get into this elite club when you own one. And I think that's what they care about more than winning. And so, I'm right there with you with Kaepernick. Like if the Raiders said, we're going to sign him as a backup, hey, look, man, I'm a Raiders fan. Right. It would be that simple. Yeah. I'm already a Raiders fan for the black woman that they hired as like their executive. I was like, yo, this kind of thing that makes me want to root for the Raiders.
You know what team I'm disappointed the most at? The Indianapolis Colts. And let me tell you why. They picked up Phillip Rivers, Carson Wentz, and now they have Matt Ryan. Over the past few years, they had Jacoby Brissett. At the time, I'm like, you could have installed Colin Kaepernick in there and fucking dominated. The Colts have always had a decent team. Their defense have been great. They needed that quarterback to take them to the next level. Last year, they needed a quarterback. The year before that, they needed a quarterback. Phillip Rivers wasn't going to take you to the Super Bowl. You had Colin Kaepernick, the Super Bowl quarterback. And you chose to pick up Phillip Rivers, Carson Wentz, and now Matt Ryan.
Yep.
What is I am so disappointed. And that's the team that I think all they need is that one piece of the puzzle. Andrew Luck, that year Andrew Luck left, they should have just fucking snatched up Colin Kaepernick. You have a whole team built around Kaepernick right now, and you would be winning playoff games and Super Bowls possibly.
But know what it is? Because number one, you're making too much sense.
way too much.
Too much. But the other thing is, it really has to, I think it has to do with politics. Yeah. I think if you pick up Carson Wentz, Phillip Rivers, and Matt Ryan, these are all white quarterbacks who act similar. And if they're not good, you could defend it. Right. You can defend it to the fan base. You can. You can say, well, we thought Phillip Rivers had a little bit more in the tank. He didn't. We thought Carson Wentz could have worked out. He didn't. We think Matt Ryan still has a little bit in the tank, and we think he can manage us to a Super Bowl. And I'm not sure that he does. Maybe he does. We'll see.
You think Matt Ryan could take the Colts to the Super Bowl?
No, but I think that their thought process is he can be a good enough game manager to get us into the playoffs, and then maybe we have a chance. That's what I think they're thinking. Right. But with Kaepernick, because he was a polarizing figure, if it doesn't work out, then people probably get fired. And I think at the end of the day, it's about how do I keep right. my job? It's not about how do I pick the very best player, which is why I've come to the conclusion that some teams just don't want to win.
Right.
And I'm like, well, look at the Colts. And the Colts are a good example of that. Great they could example. Have picked him up. And if it doesn't work, then you just get another quarterback like everybody's doing anyway. Right.
But
and
you move they on. Fumbled through quarterbacks for the past 5 years.
But they also got a certain type of quarterback. Right. And they still kept their jobs.
Right. And all they had to do was pick up Kaepernick, complete the offense around him, and win fucking Super Bowls. Like, it's a simple thing. Colin Kaepernick probably is still and was a phenomenal quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Quarterback. So, I mean,
I think they're waiting him out until he gets old, and then they can say, well, he's just too old now.
He's aged out of the NFL. But anyway,
meanwhile, Tom Brady's going to play till he's 55.
Right, 95 years old. He's going to be out there with a walker throwing passes.
and they'll be fine with it. Again, they'll be fine with it when certain quarterbacks do it. But when it comes to other quarterbacks, things are not the same. That has been a fantastic episode of Civil and Savage. We have talked about quite a bit with Deshaun Watson. We'll definitely mark this as not safe for work, just in case.
Not safe for work.
Sorry. Look, I
came into the podcast singing. I got to exit it. Hey, don't commit poor man crimes and be good humans, everyone.
Oh, God. Thank y'all so much. We will talk to y'all next time.
Peace.